Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mom Radio Show, your time of encouragement, mom to mom. I'm Cindy Rushton, your hostess. We have a great show planned for you today. You want to see our show notes? We'll see them on our website at www.momtomomradioshow.com. And while you're online, drop by our website at www.cindyrushton.com. Ready for a new show? Well, grab a big cup of tea, settle in for a bit. It is now time for another Mom to Mom Radio Show. Well, good morning, everybody. This is Cindy Rushton, your hostess for Mom to Mom Radio Show, and I want to welcome you this morning. How are you guys doing? Are you ready for another Mom to Mom time? Well, you guys, this is going to be a great show today. I think you're going to really enjoy it, and I'll dig in just a moment. But before I do, I want to welcome all of you. If this is your first time to join us, well, guess what? We have a website, and you are going to love, love, love all of our archives. If you'll look at momtomomradioshow.com, there you will find archives from the past five, almost 6 years. We'll have our sixth birthday in January, so we have almost had a whole 6 years here recording our show, and boy, we cover it all. Anything from marriage to mothering to homemaking to homeschooling to organization, on and on. We cover it all. And so check us out at momtomomradioshow.com. Now, in case you guys have missed last week, this week we're going to continue our brand new series. Now, it doesn't mean you had to have listened to last week's audio. You'll want to after you hear today, but we are studying through the different things that we need to remember and to know as we seek to become that Proverbs 31 woman. Yes, we're doing a series studying through Proverbs 31, and I think you guys are going to really enjoy this series. You may want to even tell some friends about it so that they can be encouraged, inspired, and especially today, I think today's topic is one we need to hear over and over again because we're going to talk about being priceless. Before I dig in, I do want to apologize to anybody who's looking for the chat room. We are having major, major rain here in North Alabama today, and whenever things like that happen, it seems like my connection to the internet is yuck. And so today is definitely a day where my connection is yuck. And I am very, very sorry that the chat room is not open, but hey, just kick back, grab your Bible, grab a journal, and just plan on this being a time mom-to-mom with me, and I think that you'll enjoy it. Maybe, you know, I don't think anything's by accident because, you know, sometimes whenever the chat room doesn't open, I have to think, well, maybe we need to be looking at the Word, you know, maybe we need to be taking notes because I've noticed that those are the days where God really wants to move. And so, anyway, I apologize for the techie problem this morning, but I can't even get Blog Talk. I can't even get on the internet long enough for it to open the page for me to begin the chat room. So I am very, very, very sorry. This is one of those downsides of living in the country and not having any access but by Wi-Fi. I mean, by my AT&T BlackBerry, and it's just not working too good this morning. So. Anyway, but you guys, I want to welcome you. And again, you know, if you are new or maybe you haven't even checked out my website, check out momtomomradioshow.com. There are, you will find all the archives for the past 6 years. And another thing, you can subscribe by RSS feed to our show and have that delivered directly into your computer. You can also subscribe to us at the iTunes Music Store. Do you have iTunes? If not, you've got to have it. I love iTunes. And we're right there in the music store. All you have to do is look up Mom to Mom Radio Show or Cindy Rushton, and we are listed right there. You can actually subscribe by RSS feed, and you can grab easily all the different audios at the click of a button. So check us out. And also, if you have to leave during the middle of the show, a lot of our moms really like to be able to dial in, and that is one great perk to being here. You can listen online, or you can also dial in by telephone or your cell phone. You can dial in 347-215-7321, and you can take us with you on the go. Well, you guys, I have a big lesson ready today, and so I'm going to go ahead and dig in. Today's lesson is Be Priceless. Have you ever thought about how priceless you are? Now, you may say, Cindy, you're making me blush. No, 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 no. You are priceless. And as a godly woman, God calls us to be priceless. Yes. A woman that is far more precious than rubies or diamonds or any jewels. A woman who is valuable. A woman of worth, worth more than jewels, diamonds, or rubies. A woman who is without a price, priceless. Oh, sweet friend, do you know how priceless you are? And I mean, yes, you are priceless. Do you know how precious you are? Do you know how valuable you are? Do you know how rare you are? Oh, sweet friend, you are precious, valuable, worthy, and priceless. You are a virtuous, excellent woman. Turn with me today to Proverbs 31. We're going to be digging in, and I mentioned last week, in case you missed it, that each week I want to read Proverbs 31 from a different version of the Bible, mainly because, seriously, when I began teaching this, I thought, I don't know which one I could use, because they're all, I love the way it's worded in each and every one of my Bibles, and buddy, do I have them. But today I wanted to read it from the Amplified Bible, because In the Amplified Bible, it defines as you read through the passage. It uses the original King James Version. Don't get scared. But it, as it goes along the way, it defines the words that sometimes we take for granted, especially if you've been in church since you were two, like I have. And it defines all of those words that we take for granted. It also defines words that maybe we would miss the true meaning. And I love this passage in the Amplified. So stick with me. I think you're going to enjoy it. Let's begin in verse 10. It says, "A capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman, who is he who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies or pearls." In fact, this is the passage, the second part, "She's far more precious than jewels and her value's far above rubies or pearls." This is the actual passage that we're going to be studying today. And so, anyway, let me continue. "The heart of her husband trusts in her confidently and relies on and believes in her securely, so that he has no lack of honest gain or need of dishonest spoil. She comforts, encourages, and does him only good as long as there is life within her. She seeks out wool and flax and works with willing hands to develop it. She is like the merchant ships loaded with foodstuffs. She brings her household's food from a far country. She rises while it is yet night and gets spiritual food for her household and assigns her maids their task. She considers a new field before she buys it or accepts it, expanding prudently and not courting neglect of her present duties by assuming other duties. With her savings of time and strength, she plants fruitful vines in her vineyard. She girds herself with strength, spiritual, mental, and physical fitness for her God-given task, and makes her arms strong and firm. She tastes and sees that her gain from work with and for God is good. Her lamp goes not out, but it burns on continually through the night of trouble, privation, or sorrow, warning away fear, doubt, and distrust. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She opens her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her filled hands to the needy, whether in body, mind, or spirit. She fears not the snow for her family, for all her household are doubly clothed in scarlet. She makes herself coverlets, cushions, and rugs of tapestry. Her clothing is of linen, pure and fine, of purple, such as that which the clothing of the priest and the hallowed cloths of the temple are made. Her husband is known in the city gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine garments and leads others to buy them. She delivers to the merchants girdles for sashes that free one up for service. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and her position is strong and secure. She rejoices over the future, the latter day, or time to come, knowing that she and her family are in readiness for it. She opens her mouth in skillful and godly wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness, giving counsel and instruction. She looks well to how things go in her household, and the bread of idleness, gossip, discontent, and self-pity she will not eat. Her children rise up and call her blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied. Her husband boasts of her and praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done virtuously, nobly and well, with the strength of character that is steadfast in goodness, but you excel them all. Charming grace are deceptive and beauty is vain, but it is not because it is not lasting. But a woman who reverently and worshipfully fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates of the city." Is that good or what? Now, maybe you're sitting there thinking, "Oh, my goodness, Cindy, I thought I was going to feel good. Now I feel kind of condemned." No. Today I want to explain to you how you can be this woman just with who you are. Just who you are, because you are priceless. The godly woman amazes me because, you know, I guess it's through the years as I have stepped up to the call to ministry myself, I have seen how priceless it is to watch a woman as a mom, as a wife. You are so priceless. Right there in your sphere of influence, you impact everyone you're around. Today's the day to step up to that call and to live it faithfully with everything we've got. And you know when we do, we will become that Proverbs 31 woman. You know, today, just as you are, though, you are priceless. You are so important. You are, going back to verse 10, you are far more precious than jewels. Your value is far above rubies. I love it again in this passage here in the Amplified. She's far more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies or pearls. Yes, this passage, actually, now I want to go back real quick. This is actually a passage of Scripture that is an acrostic. It is an acrostic that begins with one, each verse begins with one word from the Hebrew alphabet, and it describes basically a godly woman, a virtuous woman, a Proverbs 31 woman. It describes a woman with each line having a word that describes her. You know, we began last week studying virtuous, and here it tells you, excuse me, it describes the virtuous woman. Here in this passage, in the second part of this line, it describes her as priceless. Some versions have used the word valuable. Some have used the word far more precious than jewels or rubies or diamonds. Many have used the word worth. But I want to today use mainly the word priceless, because as we become a Proverbs 31 woman, we realize who we are. We realize our value. We realize our price. And a godly woman is priceless, valuable, worthy, worth more than rubies. Yes, you are priceless, valuable, precious, and of great worth. You are so important. Do you know that? I mean, do you really know that? Are you saying, "Cindy, goodness, this is hard for me to hear this"? Because I think that probably one of the most important things we need to know is who we are and how vital we are, that what we do really counts. And we need to know that what we do matters, and it matters how we do it, because we impact so many people around us. No one else can do what you're called to do like you. Nobody else. you know, I get kind of, there's a high place for me. I teach a lot of writers and business owners. In fact, I have a coaching program right now that our very first session, we're going to be talking about who they are, who they are and what their message is, what their unique message is. And that's only a part of the first session, but it's a very important part. And let me tell you why. Because otherwise, people have a tendency, and I know this from myself, but people have a tendency to discredit and to devalue who they are unless they really, really take that time to get to know who they are. You know, I remember when I first heard that and someone was saying, "Hey, Cindy, who are you?" I remember thinking, "I don't really know. I guess I'm a wife and I'm a mother." They were like, "No, no, no, I don't think you understand. I'm not talking about your roles. I'm talking about who you are, the real you." And I'm going to talk more about that in just a little bit, but nobody else can do what you're called to do. I don't know what it is. I don't know what your whole package is. For me, I am very, very, as a matter of fact, that's one reason I think I love Proverbs 31, is that here in this passage, we see how varied a typical Christian woman really is. And yes, the Proverbs 31 woman is a typical woman. Your package may not look the same, but that's okay. What you do, no one else can do it quite like you do it. If you were to really be honest and you were to really look at the things that you do that are valuable and priceless and precious to those around you, your list is probably going to be longer than Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. I really believe that. You know, nobody else can do it like you. The things that you are really called by God to do are things that no one else can step up and do it. And you may say, and I see this all the time, I see people all the time who do things similar. I see people that write books similar to my books, topics that I write. I see people that teach topics in Bible study, of course. You know, we all have the same resource book, but I see women all the time who teach the similar topics to what I teach. And yet, there's still a spin that I have that they don't have. And that means that when God says, "Cindy, I want for you to hit this topic. This is the one I want you to do it the way that you would do it. And I want for you to do it the way I'm going to lead you through you to do it. I'm going to use your personality. I'm going to use your abilities. I'm going to use your talents. I'm going to use your giftings. And I'm going to use that mix in such a way that nobody else could do it quite like you." And you may say, "Cindy, I could see that with you. But I see it like that for you." All the things that God calls you to do, whatever they may be, no one else can do it like you can. Do you know that? You know, I think we really need to get that deep. Because I want to tell you, probably the reason we don't get this deep is because the enemy is always lurking around lying. Lying like a dirty dog, according to the way that my mama would say it. But he's lying, telling us that we are worthless, that nobody really cares, that we aren't good enough. Are you hearing me? And yet the Proverbs 31 woman knows, the virtuous woman knows, that nobody else really can do it the way they do it. You can't listen to the enemy and get counsel. I can just tell you, he will destroy you. He will keep you from doing the very things that you are amazing at doing. He'll try to convince you that you don't have enough money, you don't have enough time, you don't have enough knowledge, you don't have enough authority. Hello. That's just how he works. That's his schemes. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to be aware of his schemes. Because what he wants, his whole purpose, is to keep you from doing what you were called by God to do. Do you know that? He wants to keep you ineffective. He wants to keep you frustrated. He wants to keep you holding back to where you don't step up to the call that God has for you and your life. Why? Because he knows your influence. He knows who you are. He knows the impact that you can have on people. We're going to talk about influence in a bit, so hold tight on that. But no one else can do it like you. You're it. You're it. Don't sit around thinking, "Well, somebody else is going to do it." You know, no, 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 no. Not what you are called to do. And if they try to step in and do what you're called to do, they're just not going to be doing what they're called to do. Hello? And we do have some of that going on in the body of Christ. More on that in a bit. No one can do what you're called to do. they may do it, and you may say, well, this person's doing something similar. Well, that's nice, but they're not doing what you would be called by God to do. I can promise that. You know, I even look at my personal relationships. You know, I told you that at the beginning, whenever I began and thinking about who I was, I instantly thought about my roles, who I was in a relationship as a wife, as a mother, as a daughter, as a friend, as a mentor, as a teacher, as a minister. I immediately began thinking of those roles. And, yes, we have amazing roles that we step into. And in those roles, no one can do it like you can. Now, I know that divorce is rampant, but can I assure you that I really do believe that no one can be a helper to your spouse like you can. No one else. No one else. You have an incredible call to step up and be his helpmeet, his completer, his co-heir throughout life. No one else can do it like you. A mother, definitely no one else can fill your boots. I'm going to tell you what, no one else can fit in your shoes. If you don't do it, let me just tell you, there's going to be a gap and a void that even psychiatrists, counseling, it just can't take that void away. It will be there. Where we fall short as mothers, there is a void because you are priceless. There's no one else like you. You are so rare, there's not another one. There's not another one like you at all. You can't be replaced. You can't be imitated. Someone else can't do this for you. This is why our culture, that you hear Hillary Clinton or you hear our politicians speak about how that it takes a village to raise a child. No, it takes a mama and a daddy. It takes a mama. No one can fill your place. They know how valuable you are as a mother, because they want to take your kids away from you before you have a great influence. I was talking last night. I went to dinner with Roy Moore, and he didn't even know who I was at the beginning. And he was talking with a pediatrician here in town, and I walked up, and I was supposed to be sitting right next to the pediatrician. And whenever I walked up, they were talking about education, which, of course, you guys know is one of my buzz. That's one of my buzzwords. And by the way, Roy Moore is running for governor of Alabama, and this was a meeting where we could get personal time with him to really get to know him, for him to get to know us, for us to get to know his heart on different issues. It was a very nice event that I was proud to be there. But one of the things we started talking about, he didn't even know my background until later when I told him who I was and what I did. And by the way, you guys, we're going to be bringing him in on our show a couple of times because I have several things I want to interview him on. But definitely, let me tell you what we were talking about. This is one I want to hear and talk more about. He was talking about the efforts to remove children from the home even before kindergarten, because they want the children as soon as they can, so they are the primary influence on those children's lives. It's not by accident. It's not by accident. This is the other side. And personally, I'm going to tell you something that may be sounding radical, but those are being ruled by the enemy. His ways, that is his way, to take a child from their mother before that child is influenced by their mother and father. That is their way. In fact, if you are falling for that thinking and thinking your children need playgroups, they need socialization, they need to get out there and be learning from others, caution. No one can replace you. No one can fill your shoes. Your children will have a void that my children didn't have to worry about. Guess what? I told him last night, I said, yeah, my children were at home. My son did not leave home until he was 21. He was homeschooled, had worked in our home business, and he went to boot camp at 21. And he smiled. I said, and you know what? It was so much better for him. You know, thank God I didn't fall for the pressures. Thank God. He was fully prepared for his calling because he had been at home with his mom and dad. He'd been learning from us. We were his primary influence. And you know, the very things that are God's design for the godly home, that priority for family, the priority for your spouse, that priority for God, those are things that are deeply instilled in him. In our culture, let me tell you, people like Hillary Clinton don't like that because they know. It's not really, I don't even know if they realize that they are being led by the enemy, but the enemy knows why it's dangerous for those kids to be at home with you. It's not because they won't fit in. For heaven's sake, my son has done excellent in special forces training. He has been, as a matter of fact, probably better than a bunch because he knows to never quit. He knows to drive himself to reach for his dreams and his goals. Where did he get some of this stuff? From us. We've got a culture full of quitters, a culture full of people that'll just do what they're told and they don't think. And yet our children were trained up differently because that's what happens when they're with their mamas. That's what happens when they're with their daddy. And can I just tell you, nobody else is going to be able to do this for you. The school teachers, the church. I see a lot of people who are pull back from parenting and leading their children to Christ, and they leave that up to the preacher because they don't know what to say. They don't know how to, you know, to answer all the questions, or they think they won't know how to answer all the questions, and so they want to leave it up to someone else to do it for them. And can I just tell you, there's danger in this thinking. Big danger. No one else can do it. You know, there's nothing that will impress your child's hearts any more than you letting them into your life, letting them see God work in your life, letting them see your passion and your heart for God. Nothing will lead them to God faster with a depth and an addiction to God that can't be taken away. Nothing else can do it. That's why God tells us to teach them all along the way. But to first get him on our heart and to teach them all along the way the things that are on our heart. And I want to tell you, the enemy knows the power and of a godly woman. You are priceless. You can have an effect that no one else can. If you can grasp onto it, if you'll step up to it, if you drop the ball, there's going to be a void that just cannot be filled. There will be a gap that can't be bridged. So no one else can do it. No one else can be you. You are precious, very precious to God. He has a very distinct, unique calling for you to become that godly woman who will step up to her call and will live it faithfully. And no one else can do this. You are the one. You're precious to God. You are valuable. He has given his very best to give you all you need to be a success as a godly woman. Don't get overwhelmed when you read a passage like Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. Let's instead start really thinking about who you are, and you will see God thinks an awful lot about you. You are his prize. You are priceless. So, how do we step up to the call to be priceless? Well, I have some things today that are going to be, I'm telling you, I don't think it's an accident that I still can't get my internet to open up the chat room. Today, I really think that this has got to be friend to friend, mom to mom. But today, I've got some things to challenge you with. So stick with me. And I want to do some heart surgery. I want to tell you, God did it on me while he was putting this on my heart, teaching me and helping me to prepare for this lesson. And so let's do some heart surgery. The first thing is we've got to know and stick to our spot. You know, if there is one thing that I have seen that is a danger zone, a very big danger zone, is that the Christian woman typically, whenever they become committed to the Lord, they step up to the call, there is a danger zone. See, the enemy loves to come in, and he loves to give counterfeits. And the counterfeits, you need to always be aware of them. They look like the real thing. They look like something that's really important, something that is really official, something that is really the thing. you know, just like your counterfeit money. You know, it could fool the naked eye if we're not real adept on knowing the real thing. And that's why this point is so important. We need to know our spot. Our spot. What we're to pour into. What we're to be a part of. Now, I'm not going to read the whole passages, but I will give them to you so you can go and dig deeper after the class or after this session, and because this is so good. But if you turn to Genesis 2, verses 7 through 15, and again, I'm not going to read it all, but go through this passage when you get a few moments and mark all the uses of the word garden. Garden. In fact, I will read a couple of the verses here. I'll just read like 8 through 15. But go through and mark every use of the word garden. Now, listen to what it says. It says, "And the Lord God planted a garden." Now, oh, by the way, this is right after the Lord has created the world, the universe, and he has created man and woman. Now, I think it's very, very interesting here that Adam and Eve had the whole world before them. You do too, and let me just make a note of this. You have the whole world before you, especially in the day and time that we live today. The world is at the end of our fingertips. It's right here at my keyboard. If I could get the computer to pull up this morning in the middle of the storm here in Alabama, but it is right here at our fingertips, and right here in Scripture where Adam and Eve are created, there's the whole world, the whole universe before them that could be their spot. The Lord God planted a garden. Now pay attention to this. Toward the east in Eden, the light, and there he put the man whom he had formed, framed, and constituted. Now, one thing I want to make a note of here, this is a specific place here. This is not a metaphor. This is a specific place, and God's describing it. Okay, in verse 9 it says, "And out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight or to be desired, good, suitable, and pleasant for food. The tree of life is also in the center of the garden, the tree of knowledge of the difference between good and evil and blessing and calamity." Now, in the verses 10 through 14, it talks about that a river, that the different rivers that met and ran through the garden. Okay, so I'm not going to read those verses, but it's talking about literally a specific place that you could go on the map and you could see. Okay, and it says in verse 15, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and guard and keep it." This is what I love here. And, of course, it continues. Keep on reading that passage, and you're going to see more references to the garden. But my point here is that God, of all the places in the world, God made a place where Adam and Eve were to work. They were to tend and guard and keep this spot. I think it's also interesting, you know, the reason that this popped me was at one time, as I was beginning in ministry, I had read a passage, and this is another passage you may want to look up later. It's in 1 Chronicles 17 and 18. I had read a passage where David wanted to build God a home, a temple. Many of you know about his desire to build God a temple. And yet God wanted for David to do what? Do you remember? He told him that he wanted for him to build his own home. In fact, God was going to step into working in David with David to build his home. I think this is very, very, very interesting. But God wanted to build David a home. That was his priority. Was for his home was his call. It was his legacy. It was the thing that God wanted for him to put his efforts into. And I think this is awful interesting. And then, let me take you to another passage. This is a passage that can be your passage just as much as it can be my passage. But in Isaiah chapter 54, verses 2 through 4, and of course, I love this whole passage. I just want you guys to know it's one of my life passages. But in verse 2, it says, "Enlarge the place of your tent." Okay? Your tent. We've looked at your garden. We looked at build your home, and here your tent. "Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right hand and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for you shall not be ashamed, neither be confounded and depressed, for you shall not be put to shame. For you shall forget the shame of your youth, and you shall not seriously remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. My sweet friends, I love here that we all have designed too. We have our spot, our place of influence. If we do all the things in the world, and yet we miss building our home, enlarging the place of our tent, or tending and keeping our garden, we will fail. We are needed, we are vital, we are priceless right here in our spot. So we need to get to know and stick to our spot. I remember when the kids were little, I remember one mother in particular that went to church with me, and I don't even remember her name. Is that interesting? But I remember what was going on because her child was, she was always at the church, always at the church. If she wasn't at church, she was working, which should, some of you may say, She was going on mission trips, and she worked full time. She was always on the go, but she was building things that personally, I'm just going to tell you, they may be very good things, but they're things that don't last. And she was losing the very thing that no one can give her back. No one can give her back those years with her little boy. I have no idea if things changed for her after we moved from Laurel. But I remember watching this little boy. He always acted out. He was always, always very insecure. He was mean as the dickens. I'm telling you, he was rotten. But his mother was not there for him. She was doing all these other things. And can I tell you that at this place in my life, there's plenty of room. After the children are grown and after they're gone, there's plenty of room for you to do whatever it is that you feel like you want to do with life. If you want to take mission trips, no telling how many more years that you can take those mission trips. And I'm not saying don't take mission trips, don't do anything for God when the kids are at home, because you guys who know me, you know me very well, but I did. I had a full-time ministry and business right here in my home. How does that stack up when I'm talking about, mom being all there? Well, the difference was my kids were there with me. My kids were a part. They were a part of what we did, and they could learn right alongside of me. They were being trained in ministry, trained in business. There's a big difference so that you can be available, but even I can tell you that there is still a tendency that we have to beware of getting so busy with business. Nothing can take over your home quite like a home business. There is still a tendency to get so busy building something like that that we don't do the very things that are at this season the number one priority. We need to look at what our spot is. There is plenty enough time to go out and broaden and take up new land and new things. Do you know what I'm saying? But during this season, today, we need to be very aware of what our spot is, what we are to be working in, what we're to be tending and keeping, what we're to be taking care of, because if we don't, we will fail at the very things that we're called to do. So the very first thing is to remember you are priceless. You've got to know and stick to your spot. What you do there is what really matters. It's what really counts. And no one else can do this for you. No one else. You are needed. You are vital. You are priceless. So know and stick to your spot. Also, know and stick to your priorities. Excuse me. God has a call that only you can fulfill. But can I tell you that God has a way that it will be done? And it's a way that's easy. It's a burden that's light. It's not going to push you to where you can't be all there. Now, but it depends upon one thing. You've got to put first things first. You've got to line up your priorities. You've got to know your priorities. You've got to stick to your priorities. And you've got to give your very best effort to your priorities first. You've got to give your very best to those you are called to serve. If you are married, the number one priority besides your relationship with God is your husband. Now, you may say, but Cindy, I've got little kids, and they take up so much of my effort. if you don't build your marriage, if you don't pour into your marriage, your children are not getting the very best lessons. There are two major lessons your children need to learn while they're at home with you. The first thing is they need to be led to the Lord. They need to learn who God is and what He's like. That is a big call to introduce our children to God and to give them a love and a passion and an addiction to Him. The second thing that we teach them is how to have a godly home, how to have that godly marriage. Our marriage teaches them so much. It's so important. And you don't get the chance to teach this again. Can I just tell you that? You know, there's a lot of my friends who now that their kids are grown, and I would venture to say they have still put their marriage as a priority for them to still be married and their nest to be empty. But I was talking with one of my friends the other day. She said, oh, man, we're just now getting to know each other. We're just now getting to know each other again. And we're totally different. And she was sharing with me about how that when the kids were at home, that the kids had to come first. And I said, no. They didn't. That's a bad lesson to be teaching our kids. Now, I do believe that they're a priority because I'm about to talk about that. But what I'm saying is there is a list of priorities. And you know what? When you place your husband first and you serve him, you give your very best to him, it overflows into your children. And you know what? Your children are so much more secure. They're so much happier. They're so much more content. They get a true picture of what the godly home looks like. You know, right now we're on the countdown to Matthew and Whitney getting married. I want for Matthew to know how important it is to take good care of Whitney. She's precious. She's priceless. She's valuable to him. She is that Proverbs 31 woman he's got to take care of. He's got to come alongside of her and love her and keep and guard and protect her. And he would not have learned that if he had not seen that in our life and watched his daddy be a godly husband, if he had not seen a picture of the godly home. That's a legacy we pass on. And so if we don't stick to our priorities and if our husbands are not first, we give our kids a real bad picture. You know, all you have to do to see the mess that a marriage can get into when the kids come before the husband is just look at John and Kate plus 8. The Gosselin home is upside down, inside out, horrible. It's a horrible picture of a home. And I didn't even say godly because it's not a godly home. It's not set up by God's design. The priorities are all out of whack. Know the children, even if you have 8, the children do not come before the father. They do not come before the mother. There is a priority for the spouse. Then the children, yes. The problem that I see is not that the problem I see in many families is one of two things. Either the children come before the husband, and that is not the right order for things in our homes, or the husband and children come after everything else. And in priorities, the way that God wants for us as a godly woman to set up our priorities is for our husband to be first, then our children, and then those who come inside of our tent. Our spot, again, is in our home. It's to enlarge the place of our home, our tent. It's to build our home. And the problem that happens is that many times people get to looking at things outside. Again, going back to this example, I'll never forget it because God dealt with me by watching this one woman and watching that her priority was her work, her priority was all the stuff at church, even going on these mission trips, leaving her husband and child to fend for themselves. And I remember seeing that, and God really spoke to my heart about, Cindy, for this season, I want you to do it my way. I want you to do it by my design. And your husband is your first priority, then your children. And if you don't have anything left over, that's where the buck stops. But the tendency is for so many of us to go out and try to take care of the world and then to bring leftovers home. Oh, my goodness, it's destructive. You know, the world, if all of us were stepping up to our call as godly women, there wouldn't be so many needs out there in the world. And you may say, but Cindy, what about helping people? Well, they will come within your tent. And if you are seriously knowing and sticking to your priorities, you're going to have plenty of overflow for those that come within your home, those that come within your sphere of influence. You'll have plenty of overflow. But if you don't take care of your family first, your husband, your children, if you don't take care of your spirituality first, you're not going to have anything to overflow on anybody else. You will have missed the most important things. So we have got to know our priorities, what really counts, who will have a real void without us. And we've got to live that first. We've got to know those priorities. And we've got to stick to those priorities, letting everything else go. Only bringing in what God gives you. If you are doing things that God gives you, it's not going to neglect the very priorities he gives you. He's not like that. If it's neglecting your priorities, you've brought in things that the devil has brought to you. Because I want to tell you, the enemy would love to get you off of your priorities. He knows your value. He knows how priceless you are. He knows how important you are. He knows what a godly woman is worth. And a godly woman can have great influence right within the walls of her own home if she'll stay focused and stick to her priorities. And sticking to your priorities, you're not going to neglect those priorities and do what God's calling you to do. It's not going to happen. God will only call you to do what you have time, resources, and energy to do. That's what you're called to do. If it seems like there's a constant block and you can't do the things that really matter, you need to look at what's inhibiting that, because there's probably some things that need to go. You may be putting your money, you may be saying, Cindy, I don't even have enough money to do the things I need to do. I can't stay at home and teach my children. Let me tell you, I stayed at home on very little income. My husband was in law enforcement. Even during a part of the time that I was at home as a mom, we went to half salary. He was only making $18,000 for almost a full year while he was training as a state trooper. We did it. You want to talk about not a lot of money? That was not a lot of money. And we had big bills. We were used to living on double that. It was tough. But I was able to be there. Because, you see, God will give you what you need to do what you're supposed to do. Now, he may not give you enough for you to do all this other stuff. It may mean you have to tighten your belt and buckle in, you know, not have some stuff. You know, I didn't get my nails done then. I didn't have a cell phone. I sure didn't have an iPhone. For heaven's sake, these things are expensive. I have them now because I could pay my whole year today. I could pay for the whole contract out today of what it costs me every month. I've got the money in the bank. I keep that money put aside. We don't do things we can't afford. And if we're doing things we can't afford, then we're doing things that we're not supposed to be doing with our money. We're not sticking to the priorities of what God's telling us to do. God will provide a way. He'll provide enough energy to do the things that really matter. If we're doing a lot of other stuff, we're going to run low. We're going to be on the edge. We're going to be snapping constantly. When we get to a place where we're snapping, we need to be cutting back. We need to say no to some stuff. And it's not saying no to your husband and children. Can I just tell you that? No, they're your priorities. It's saying no to this little activity, to this little fundraiser, to this little project at church, this little project for the community. It's saying no to some stuff. It's saying no to some going. You know, we've just got to stick to our priorities. They go into our calendar first. If there's no more room, there's no more room right now. Let me tell you, these days will be over very, very quickly. I remember when older people used to tell me that, and I didn't get it. Now I get it. These days are over very quick. We need to remember that all along the way. You know, there needs to probably be a sign on our, you know, a note on our hand that says, hey, these days are going to go quick. Stick it out. Be all there. Invest your very best to those you're called to serve first. No sloppy seconds, no leftovers, no crumbs. Give them your very, very best. You are so valuable, so priceless. You've got to know there's no room for the junk. There's no room for the stuff. There's no room for the clutter. Know and stick to your priorities. Next is know and stick to your purpose. I love this passage. For many of you, you find that if I'm going to be teaching somehow, for some reason, this one just always seems to pop into my lessons. And it's Jeremiah 29:11. I think I include this because this is one of my most favorite passages. When I was at my rock bottom, totally depressed, totally distraught, didn't think my life counted, this verse, God kept bringing me back to it until it now really shows me what he thinks about me, how valuable, how priceless he thinks of me. Sweetheart, it is not just for me, it's for you too. Jeremiah 29:11 in the NIV says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God has plans for you. He has good plans. I mean, get this deep inside of you. He thinks so much of you. You may not think much of you, but God does. He thinks so much of you that he's got plans to prosper you, to never harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. Listen to it from the message. It says, and I love this, listen to this as if God's speaking it to you, because he's wanting to speak this to you today. He says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Oh, yes. Soak that in. Look at Colossians 1, verse 16. In the message, it says, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. You know, we wonder why our culture has such a devaluing of womanhood, or why our culture seems to objectify women or cut them down or push them down. Now, I'm not one to be, I'm not a feminist. I am all for the Proverbs 31 woman, though. And God has a purpose for you in him, in Christ. Everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Our culture needs nothing more than purpose and meaning today. And see, God has a purpose for you. You are precious. You are priceless. You are valuable. Listen to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to read some different parts of this passage. Look it up. I'm reading from the NIV. It says, long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. Can I read that a different way? He had you in mind. Long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had you in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he... Oh, the UPS is riding by. She's going to go crazy. What pleasure he took in planning this. It's in Christ Jesus that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of... Oh, I can't read with her doing this. Pooh. Uh-uh-uh. They're going bye-bye. Good. You got rid of them. So they come back down the road. Okay, let me reread this. Long before... Hold on. Let me get the dog to be quiet. Okay. Long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. Think about this. Now, I'm telling you, he's not taking pleasure in his son dying. That was the most difficult day of all history for him. He took pleasure in planning for you a life, a lavish life, an abundant life, a life that will be blessed, a life that has purpose and meaning. I love it. It's in Christ Jesus that we find out who we are and what we are living for. long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, and he had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. Sweet friend, know that God has a purpose for you and your life. God has an awesome, incredible, lavish plan for you and your life. That means you. Yes, you. He has a purpose for you. You must know this first and foremost. Secondly, oh, hold on just a sec. Let me get her to be quiet again. Okay, now she's chased the UPS guy back down the road. Ha ha. Yeah, he was going to go anyway. She just doesn't get that. Okay, secondly, know who you are. I love how Rick Warren in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and if you've not read that book should be the first and foremost on your list to get it and soak it in, dig in. Yeah, in 40 days, you can read through each of the chapters and really soak them in into your life. That'd be a super devotional for some of you. But in there, he talks about knowing your shape. And what he's talking about is that to know your purpose and who you are, you simply need to look at some things about yourself. And he uses an acrostic where each of the things to look at begin with a letter from the word shape. S is for spiritual gifts. H is for heartbeats. A is for abilities. P is for personality. E is for your experiences. To get to know who you are, look at how you are shaped. What are your gifts? What are your heartbeats? What are your abilities? What is your personality? What are the experiences that you have gone through in your life? Oh, who are you? What are your gifts? What are your talents? What are your heartbeats? Who moves your heart? What moves your heart? What can you do and only you? What's your story? Get to know who you are. As you do, you're going to get to know your purpose. And you know what? You're going to find just how priceless you are. Well, that is if you will do the next thing, which is yield to his work in you. You know, he's got to work in you. He's got to pull together all the different things that he's made you to be. He's got to do work in you so that you are ready for the call. So yield to his work in you and then step up to the call. No one else can do it for you. Without you, there will be a void. You are vital, essential. You are priceless. So know and stick to your purpose. Next, know your influence. Let's go back in time. I want to go back to the very beginning. Have you ever thought about Eve, Adam and Eve? Have you ever thought about, and this is kind of stuff I think about. I know that I'm not alone because I've read that other people think the same things, but I've talked to many of my friends who think the same thing. But have you ever thought about Eve, why Satan approached her and not Adam? I mean, I've kind of thought about that. I've thought about that, and I've thought about, you know, as to why he would do that. You know what my big guess is? My biggest guess is her influence. The enemy knew she had great influence, and boy, did she. Likewise, you have great influence. You are a helpmeet for your husband. Do you know how much he needs you? I was talking to some friends the other day, and well, actually they were young married girls. Actually, they were doing my nails, and I was there, and these young girls, they cracked me up. Just the thing, I've been there, done that, and it's kind of funny to see some of the things that they say and the things that they think about their spouses and stuff, and it makes me actually laugh. Sometimes it makes me cry, but anyway, they were talking, They said something to me about, you know, counting down for the wedding, and they said, is that hard? I said, well, actually, no. I said, you know, I've got an empty nest now. Both my kids are grown up and out on their own. And I said, but I have one that will never grow up. He'll always need me. He'll always want me. He won't leave me. And that's my husband. And I laugh and I said, you know, seriously, there are certain things about him. Now, I hope you guys take this right, that there are certain things about him that he is just like my kids were when they were babies. He loves to cuddle up and get his head scratched, and he doesn't ever get too big for that. How about that? He doesn't, you know, he would, I could do anything for him, make him anything, and I mean, cook for him. He is game. He's thrilled. He doesn't get too big or too busy to stop and eat my cookies or to slow down and let me baby him. He loves it. As a matter of fact, I find that the more, not that I baby him or mother him, I'm not talking about that. Please get that bossy mommy thing, like, again, going back to Kate Gosselin, that bossing him around disrespectful thing, that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about that nurturing, take care of your man, love on him, and take good care of him, baby him, that, you know, that kind of stuff. He will never grow up for that. I have a captive audience for life. I said, you know, they won't ever outgrow that. I said, they love for you to baby them. They love for you to take good care of them, to nurture them. They need a woman for that. They need a woman who can complete them, who can bring all she is to making him all that God has called for him to be, who can join hands with him and be a co-heir, living out the legacy, living out the calling. You're helpmate. You're that prayer warrior. You know, Harold may not feel that anybody else needs certain details of his business enough to be able to pray for things. As a matter of fact, he probably would never stand in a prayer line at church asking them to pray for certain things because he's very, very private on those things. But he doesn't mince words. If he needed me right now, he would be either texting or calling me saying, Cindy, I need you to pray because I'm the person that he has confidence in that will really pray for him, that will shake heaven for him, that will keep busting heaven wide open until we see a breakthrough. And that is a calling that has great influence over him. He knows if I pray it, if he's got a need, I'm going to pray it. I am going to dig deep and press into God for on his behalf. He needs a support. In fact, I love that in Scripture, the Bible tells us to train our daughters up like polished cornerstones. That they and think about a cornerstone. They are the ones that hold up the weight of the home. Yes, we hold up the weight of the home. We are there so that even our husbands can lean against us. We need to be all there. That's priceless. We are their biggest cheerleader. You know, there were times that others did not have a vision and could not see what God was wanting to do in Harold's life. Yet, Harold knew that I would be his biggest cheerleader. And boy, that's a big calling. But that right there is what we are all called to be, is our husband's biggest cheerleader. We're called to be his lover, the one who validates and confirms and affirms his manhood. That's big, 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 big. You want to destroy your man? Fall down on that one. No, you're priceless. You're his lover. You're his encourager. You know, I got, and you may be listening, but one of my friends was sharing with me how that wasn't really their spiritual gift. But can I tell you that it's not about it being your gift. This is about who you are. You are that person that, even if you think, I'm not like you, I'm not that bubbly, woohoo person, well, you don't really know me very well either. But let me tell you, you are your husband's encourager. He likes your style of encouraging. You want to know how I know you're his encourager? I bet you could tear him to pieces with your mouth. You could discourage him when no one else could. I know. That's the power and influence that a woman has. You have great influence. You can be the very one who can just smile upon something and give him enough encouragement to leap tall buildings in a single bound. You're his encourager. You're his promoter. You are his biggest validation to who he is, his integrity, his reputation. You are the one. When you stand behind your man, like last night I was noticing this about Roy Moore and his wife. You know, she is his validation. I could tell she was so proud of him. She was with him. I watched her face while, and I hope this doesn't sound creepy, but I watched her face a couple of different times as they were showing the slideshow. She had a pride in her husband that was simply beautiful. We need leaders with godly women who can promote her man, because that right there, that's a solid leader. That's a solid home. That's what we need today more than anything. And I'm not talking about the junky junk that we see with a lot of politicians. I'm talking about the real deal, people whose homes are in order. If we went back to biblical principles and we had leaders that were really qualified to lead, we'd have a different country today. We'd have our country based on our roots, our historical biblical roots that this country was established on. But, you know, it begins with a woman and women in the home promoting their man. You know, I want to just mention this to you, too. This is not saying that you aren't great and that you don't have an identity, that you lose your identity. For heaven's sake, Proverbs 31, I've already read the things that you can see in a typical godly woman, the qualities that are there. It's not that that is the only thing she ever does, but as you pour into your husband, he pours back into you. It becomes a healthy relationship where you both can step up to the call. It's not meaning that you're a doormat. It's not meaning that you become nothing. It is meaning that he is the number one thing. For me, I do a lot of things, but my number one priority is still Harold. You know what's funny is when I take care of Harold, I have plenty of time left over in my life to do the things that God has called me to do, specifically with my message, specifically with teaching, specifically with mothering. I have plenty of time for all of that. But you know what? I'm not all about promoting Cindy. I'm all about promoting Harold. He's the one. He shines. Just like this Proverbs 31 where it talks, and we'll come back to this in a week later, but her husband's known in the city gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She does him good, not harm. I'm going to talk more about that next week. But a godly woman is one that her husband is respected and revered and honored because she makes him look good. She's promoting him. You are also his personal affirmation, not just sexually like I mentioned earlier, but in every area of life. You affirm him. You affirm him as a provider. You affirm him as a protector. You affirm him as a lover. You affirm him as a leader. You know, I went to a church years ago where it seemed to be, and I remember hearing this in like some of the Bible studies, where women were talking about how their husbands were not being the spiritual leader of their home. Well, I went to the Lord. I said, God, what do I need to do to encourage these poor women? You know, I knew Harold was the leader that he was called to be, and I was thinking, what are their husbands doing? Until I get to know some of the women. They were way too busy cutting their husbands to pieces, and then wondering why their husbands were not stepping up. They constantly were undermining them and disrespecting their husbands. And can I just tell you, the one thing God spoke to my heart was, Cindy, Harold is not the leader of your home because of what he does, right or wrong. He's the head of your home because of his position. And it is your place as a godly woman to affirm him. If there's a man who is a weak spiritual leader, more than likely he's got a weak spiritual follower. Ouch. I told you it wouldn't always be easy in this study. Serious. Where's the godly woman who's affirming her man, building her man? 1 Peter 3 talks about the woman with a gentle and quiet spirit who is the hidden woman behind her man. That means you're that person that comes behind him, lifts him up, affirms him, and in turn that establishes him as the leader. You're his personal affirmation. You have power and influence to build him up or to tear him down. Scary, isn't it? because you have great influence. You're his inspirer. There's no one who can come alongside of your husband like you and help to encourage them to go for their dreams, to live step by step for their dreams. There's also nobody who could destroy it faster, who could take it away, steal it away, discourage him quite like you. You have influence. You inspire your husband. You're the one who challenges him towards greatness. There's something about a godly woman. If you will look at all the godly men in the scripture and in history, almost all of them have got great women behind them. A mother, but definitely the greatest, have a wife who is right there, right beside them, supporting them and challenging them to keep moving towards greatness. You have great influence as a wife. Not only that, you have great influence as a mother. You know, we all know the severity, the how serious it is to be a mother. You know, I remember many times through the years as the kids were growing up, I remember sitting and looking at who they were and what they were becoming and being overwhelmed at their greatness. We influence our children. We have great influence. That's why it's so important to pour our life into them, teaching who you are and what you love, what you know, inspiring them and leading them to God. You know, it's at your knee that they get to know him first. And they get to learn the most important ideas about God right at your knee. We wonder why there are so many people who have had a nodding acquaintance with God, who have gone and went through the motions going to church, but not really living it out in their personal lives, having strongholds that they can't seem to overcome. I just have to say, where is the mom? Where are the mothers? If you listen to the greatest men and women of God, they've had a mom, they've had a woman behind them, teaching them and inspiring them and leading them to God. You know, we are called to mother and to lead our children to God. You know, Deuteronomy 6 is so important. It tells us that we've got to first have it on our hearts. It doesn't say we have to have it at our church and have to have gasoline to get there. No, it's talking about it's first, that God has first got to be on our hearts. We've got to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then we have to teach that to our children as we go along the way. That's the power of a mother. That's, again, why there's a battle for influence. There's a battle for influence because the enemy knows how important it is to be a godly mother. He knows that. So lead your children to God. Also, ministering to their hearts. No one has the power that you have to truly minister to their heart. You're the one that, when you speak words, they believe it. That's why we have to be very careful what we speak over our children. You know, again, my mom used to tell me this with my friends, if you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. Well, that would be nice, but with children, even if you don't have anything good to say, you need to get in the Word and speak the Word over them. That's what we're called to do, to speak the Word over them, to encourage their hearts, to believe in them, to help them to learn to walk in the Spirit. Those are things that we are called to step up and minister to their hearts. We're called as a mom to equip them for life. You know, probably the most scary moment I think I've had all through the years as a mom was when I walked away and left Matthew in Nashville. He was leaving. I had to leave that night because the next day they would be processing him in and taking him to Fort Benning for boot camp. And that week was probably one of the most difficult weeks of my entire life as a mom. What was going through my mind was not, did he get enough algebra?
oh, does he remember his algebra? Does he remember what a split infinitive is? No, it wasn't any of that. My thought was, is he equipped? Is he ready for this? Is he prepared fully to step up to this call? You know, the lessons are not over when they leave home. As a matter of fact, the lessons you teach are far greater once they leave home than ever before. You know, when they come to you, you're needing to teach them in that sweet mom way, not in the oh mom way, you know what I mean, but in the way where they will listen. You need to teach the things that they still need, and they're going to need big lessons after they leave home. Don't get me wrong, but there's that place where we're the one who equips them for life. You know, that the void would show so evident at that point. And we want to be able, we have such an influence that we want to be able to sleep at night when they leave home, knowing that they are fully prepared, that they are equipped for life. You have great influence. And then we need to pass the torch, a godly legacy. You know, they're not, this culture is not going to give them a godly legacy. In fact, I don't want to sound ugly about the church, but typically in the church, they're not going to get what they need to build a godly legacy. Not in most churches. This comes from the home. This comes from a mom's influence. A mom living out her legacy, living out the call, living by God's design, and then passing that torch for them to pick it up and run with it. You have great influence as a mother. You also have great influence as a keeper of the home. You know, I love how, and we're going to be looking at this in future weeks, but I love, love, love how in verse 27 of Proverbs 31, it says she looks well to how things go in her household. She, in some scriptures it talks about she looks and watches over the ways of her household. She watches to see how things are going. She keeps her pulse on what's going on in the house. She's not like so many of these moms today, and I'm sorry to say this, but so many of these moms today that are clueless. Their focus is everywhere else but the home, and then they don't even know the things that are going on under their own roof. We are to set a guard around our home. You know, there are a lot of things I regret doing as the children grew up. There are a lot of things I regret with my life, but I never regret being a guard over my home and watching what comes through those doors, saying there will be things that will not come into our home. There's no alcohol. We've never had alcohol in this house, ever, ever. It will not come on my property. It will not be a part of my celebrations. It will not be a part of anything I do. There will be no alcohol. There will be no, obviously, no drugs. You know, I set the parameters. There will be no filth. There will not be pornography in this house. Trust me, I know the ways of this household. We hold everyone accountable. You know, at this time, I can go into anybody's emails, even though my kids are grown. I have logins even to their Facebook, even though my kids are grown and out of my home. We've always held accountability here, and you know, my influence in that area is vital. Your influence as a guard, a keeper over your home, a maker of your home is priceless. You're the one that will bring them back home. You will give that shelter. You will give that protection because you have influence as a keeper of your home. You have influence as a spiritual mother, a teacher, a mentor, a minister, a vessel God can use in lives all around you. You have influence all around you, everywhere you go. People know. They watch. They catch on. We've just got to be the real deal. You know, I was talking with someone a while back, and they were talking about, I don't even know if it just maybe just been the first time they realized that people were really watching their life. They said, you know, is it because I'm homeschooling? I said, no, people are always watching what you do, especially if they get even a simple idea that you are a Christian. You are like in the fishbowl. You're going to be watched. That's what your life will be like. People watched us all through the years, and they still watch us. People I will never even know were watching or watching. That's why we've got to live a life of integrity. We've got to be the real deal inside out. That's what we're called to do because we have influence, even where we may not even know it. You influence everyone around you. You are a mighty woman, a virtuous woman. You're more valuable than rubies. You are priceless. So know your influence. Also, know your limits. You know, Scripture says that everything human, everything human has limitations. Do you know that? Have you found that Scripture? Oh, yeah, human. Are you human? Well, of course you are. That's why we have got to let go of Supermom or even Mommy Martyr. You know, we don't do anybody favors by not taking care of ourselves. And I have recently seen a lot more writing where young people or even men will step up and they'll say, well, you need to not be so focused on all this stuff. You need to be taking care of yourself spiritually. Well, that's nice, but I'm glad that God's called me to be the Titus II teacher and some of the other older women to be Titus II teachers. If you'll listen to them, I think you're going to get a lot better counsel, especially the ones you want to imitate. You know, I was the other day, and by the way, that doesn't mean everybody who's got gray hair, and I've got gray hair, but not everybody who's got gray hair and old years on them are the ones that you listen to. You need to know that. Because the other day, Harold and I, we were out of town. We had gone to Nashville for the weekend, and we were at a hotel, and we, over breakfast, I was stunned at how rude some of these older ladies were. I guess it's because right now, when I go to work out on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I work out at a local gym doing my strength training on those mornings, and of course, I work out every night at another gym. But at the gym I go to for Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings, it happens to be that whenever I go in there, that happens to be about when the senior aerobics and step classes let out. And anyway, I was telling Harold that I am so accustomed to those older ladies in there. They are, to me, the picture of godly womanhood. They already have the checklist of Proverbs 31 down. I've gotten to know some incredible ladies. And, you know, anyway, we were at the hotel, and this is, you know, following up on just months and months of being around these other ladies who are just incredible, who I'm like, goodness gracious, I want to be like them. They are the picture of Proverbs 31. They are the picture of the Titus II teacher that you want to learn from. And so I've been spending all that time, but this particular weekend when we were in Nashville, we got up to go to breakfast, and I was stunned at the gluttony. I was stunned at the me first, because I'm older, you know, that selfishness of not getting out of the way, and they were taking up a lot of the way, if you know what I'm saying. I was just stunned, especially after having dealt with such amazing ladies, again, at the gym that I've been getting to know. I was stunned at how different they were. You know, we don't, I just want you to know, not everybody that you're going to see out there is going to be a good example. Not everybody that you see out there doing things, you know, that just because they're older, that doesn't mean that they're the ones to follow. In fact, I was overhearing the conversations of these particular women at the hotel, and they were talking about gambling. Let me tell you, there's none of that at this house. Why? Because, you know, I truly believe that God gives you what he wants your money to be spent on. And I find it very hard to believe he's going to tell you to go gamble it. I'm sorry. I have a very staunch view on that. He always gives me things that need to be done that are not a gamble. He's not a gamble. You can't play that with your money and be blessed. And I don't know. I was really bothered by that. But as a matter of fact, they were sitting there playing cards for money at the breakfast table. They cleared off. And by the way, they took up this breakfast room selfishly, took up all these tables to play cards and gamble with each other over breakfast when other people were just trying to get some breakfast. You couldn't even go in there and get your breakfast and stay in there because they were taking over this room. It was so rude, so selfish. And And so anyway, putting this into context with what I'm saying here, you can't trust just anything and everything that people say about godly womanhood. And I think one thing that bothers me, again, going back, I've seen a lot of people write and teach error when it comes to taking care of yourself. You know, we are a triune being. We are created in the image of God. And what that means is He is spirit, soul, and body. And likewise, we are. We are spirit, soul, and body. He's created us in His image. And let me tell you, God, over and over in Scripture, talks about how that we should take care of ourselves. Spiritually, you know, we do need a personal, passionate, intimate relationship with God. You could be in shape. You could be reading the best ideas. You could be success-driven. I've seen a lot of people that are very good at that. But there's a void spiritually, and they are not what they need to be. They're not stepping up to their call. We need God. He is the absolute. His ways are the way that the ways that work. This is the way we should be living. You know, we have a culture today that they want anything goes. Anything goes. My daughter was talking to me the other day about a lady that she babysits for, and quite frankly, her ideas are messed up because she's mixed in a little bit of God with a lot of New Age thinking, and you've got to be careful with that in this culture today. I was listening to a business mentor of mine. She's actually a coach of mine, believe it or not, but I was listening to her, and her stuff that doesn't make sense. I was telling my husband, I said, she's got such good stuff, and then all of a sudden she'll go off this deep end with this weird stuff. And it hit me the other day. It was because it was her New Age thinking. She'll say all the time, the universe is going to bring you this and bring you that. Good Lord have mercy. Let me tell you something about the universe, the depraved world we live in. Hello? Now, God will bless you if you do what He asks you to do. If you step up to the call, if you're faithful, He can bless you. If not, He can't bless you and prosper you. It's crazy stuff. We need to get back to God. We need to have a relationship with Him. Salvation, nothing else satisfies. We all are created with a gap that only God can fill in our heart. Salvation is not something so that He lords over you. Now, He is the Lord over you, but it's not so He lords over you. It's so that He's unleashed to bring you back to His design. He's got good plans for you. You can trust Him with your whole life. It means that first we've got to be spiritually come to Him in salvation. We've got to have time where we learn from Him, where we get filled back up by Him. We've got to have times to get away. We need those regular revivals of our spirit. We need to be spiritually what we need to be. But you know what? I remember a period of my life where I was pushing my limits in every other area. I was spiritually where I should be. And I know people say, there's no way. Well, I guess if you were to look at it as the fact that spiritually God wants you to take care of your spirit, soul, and body, then you could probably say, well, you weren't where God wanted you to be. But now, spiritually speaking, I was doing my quiet time. I was studying. I knew the Word. I was living it. I was praying it. I was believing it. Yet, you know what? We have to take care of our mind and our body as well. I am Baptist, and many of you know that. And I have to tell you that in the Baptist church, probably the biggest problem I see in the Baptist church, I see it in the Methodist church, I see it in the Presbyterian, I see it in pretty much all of them. Let me just tell you that. The biggest problem I see is that we link spirituality as being the thing to pursue without realizing God made us also soul and body. And we can't neglect those. We can't push the limitations of those without having big ramifications. We have to take care of our mind and our body just as well as we take care of our spirit. Or we won't be able to run the race like God has called us to run the race. You know, Charlotte Mason, she was an educator from the late 1800s, and she talked about how important it was to have ideas. Just like it was just as important as physical food or spiritual food for our body that we need daily, she said we need food for the mind daily. That the ideas that we get from great books or from study or from hanging with big thinkers, that those ideas are our food, and without them, we starve, or we're at minimum, we're malnourished. I believe a lot of times people are maybe even spiritually fat, but mentally, they're malnourished. They're anorexic. Because somewhere here, we get the idea that being spiritual, being a godly woman, or being a godly person, means that we're all in the Bible only. God has given us so much great material through great books. If we will learn from the mentors, the men and women who have gone before us, the big thinkers, the history makers, we will become greater. You know, I remember one idea that stuck with me for years, and it changed my life, was a time we were reading about, in the kids' schoolwork, we were reading about Haydn, and we had been studying him as a composer, and we'd been listening to his music, and I noticed his music was fresh. It was nice. As a matter of fact, it's still some of my favorite classical music. I think he's probably my number one most favorite composer. But we were reading about him in a book, and it was talking about that he was asked how he was able to compose so many original compositions. You know, he lived in a day where a lot of people would basically copy the style of the great composers, and yet his work was totally fresh, totally different. It was not a copy. It was original. And he was noted for that. And when they asked him how he was able to create so many original compositions, he said that he was cut off from the world. He was forced to become original. Now, note, I'm not reading this from my notes. This is in my head, because this is an idea that I remember whenever I want to be great, whenever I want to be original, and I want that as a Christian writer. That's one of the things God has called me to do, and as a Christian teacher, he's called me to do that. That's one of the things that is part of my life purpose. And yet, this really, really hit me that I've got to be pulled apart. I've got to have solitude. That one idea transformed my life and my business. You know, we need a constant diet of ideas. If you know, I've told my kids since they were little bitty that, you know, we had dinner with a lot of great people, and I said, I would like to see you ask them what they know. You need to, over dinner, be learning things about them. You need to know more about them when you finish the dinner than they know about you. Not that it's, you don't want to tell people about yourself, but what you want is to know what they know, because they know great things. You know, if we will hang around with big thinkers, if we will keep learning, constantly learning something new, if we will read widely, if we will be a person that studies and has a discipline of pulling apart learning every day, then I truly believe we will be a woman that will make a difference. We will be a woman who lives out her life purpose. So we need to take care of ourselves mentally. Now, let me just real quick mention one other thing. Today in our culture, we have rampant depression. I've been there. I have been there. And this culture today feeds depression. I know, because I've learned how to battle it, but I have to watch the thinking. I have to watch the things I listen to, my music, the things I watch on TV. You know, I don't sit around and just watch the news all the time. Now, I like being informed with politics. I like being involved. I like knowing what's, you know, the pulse. But I don't sit and listen to CNN or Fox all day long every day. It would totally depress me, especially right now, where all they have been talking about, not Fox as much as CNN, but where they've been the things they've been talking about are the doom and gloom, it's no hope. That's not God. That's not what God's about. I want to tell you, he's not shaken by the economy. He's not shaken by the things that people do in this culture today. He's not shaken when politicians let you down. He's not shaken. You know, we need his view on all of these things. And then we will have a quiet confidence. We won't be at the edge. You know, maybe, you know, I see this a lot even with mothers who, you know, who are worried about different things. Their, maybe it's their child's health. Maybe it's their finances. Maybe it's their relationship with their husband. We have got to learn how to mentally be strong. Now, I'm going to talk about this more in this series, but we've got to make sure that we take good care of ourselves mentally. We may have a lot of Christians today who've done really good. They know a lot of Bible. They as a matter of fact, are smack dab in the middle of the Bible studies at church, but they're weak mentally. You know, this is something I have been working on for about 10 years in my own personal life, is to be strong mentally. And in fact, one of the funniest things this year, as I set my goal to take care of, you know, to really move forward getting fit and healthy, I realized just how weak my mind was. I thought it was stronger than it was, but it wasn't. And that brings me to the next point. We got to be strong physically. We've got to take good care of ourselves physically. Yeah, it's essential. It's essential. You know, the church has never been fatter than it is today. Christian women have never been fatter than they are today. Some of you may be fine. You may say, "Oh, Cindy, that's hard." No. Are you fit and healthy? You know, there's a difference. I've been skinny and I've been fat. And can I tell you, when I was skinny, I was no more in shape than I was when I was fat. I'm talking about, are we fit and healthy? Are we really fit for the call? Because, you know, if we look at Proverbs 31, and we are really honest, look at verse 17. It says, she girds herself with strength, spiritual, mental, and physical fitness for her God-given task, and makes her arms strong and firm. This is not an analogy. This is seriously a how-to. We've got to get fit. Physically fit. We've got to make our arms strong and firm. We've got to gird ourselves with strength. To be a strong woman, you've got to take care of yourself, spirit, soul, and body. And yes, body is one of those. That's one area. You know, we truly can't love others and love God. We truly can't step up to the call that God has in our life unless we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. It's not an option to take care of ourselves. And I'm telling you, I think some of you are probably hearing a stronger tone than ever that I have for this. Watch out, it's going to just get bigger. Now I'm 77 pounds down, you guys. 77 pounds down from January. I can't even articulate how different I see things. You know, we don't take good care of ourselves like we should in this culture. Not if we're on Get By. Not if we're on Get By. I was talking about some of the older ladies at the gym, and one I met, her name is Mary, and, man, I think she's amazing. I want to be her when I grow up. She is such a great model. But we were talking the other day, and she said, you know, I'm so proud of you for coming to the gym now. She said, at your age, you are getting a head start. She has lost her first husband. He died with heart problems when she was really young. And she he had a heart attack, and they began for about a year getting in shape. She said that he still wasn't totally committed. He was a preacher. He wasn't totally committed to getting in shape and eating well. And she said a year later he had a heart attack and died. And she said, you know, I really, from that first heart attack, became committed that I had better take good care of myself. I had better eat well. I had better get up and get moving. I had better take good care of myself if I wanted to step up to the call that God had for my life. We had the most amazing conversation, lifting our little weights and taking turns. And I love her. She is so neat. She is so right. We need more Titus 2 teachers coming along saying, wait, hold, don't let yourself go. You know, we need to take good care of ourselves. It's not an extra. It's an essential. God does not get glory when his people are sick from the same diseases as the culture. He has specific directions right here in the Word. God didn't just call us to be spiritual head, you know, heart knowledge only kind of people. He's calling us to be all there, spirit, soul, and body, to take care of ourselves. And we've got to know our limitations. Our limitations, we are limited if we're not in good shape. We are limited. So how do we get in shape? How do we take care of that area? Well, first, we watch our food. You know, we live in a fat culture, and our diet is dangerous. I got an email this morning, and I'm going to leave it nameless, but it was kind of interesting because this past week, I have gotten a couple of different emails where different authorities in the field of fitness, I know what they mean by it, but they've had articles saying that fat is okay, fat is good. Well, you tell that to our culture. They don't understand what you're saying. And now you can go on and you can read the articles, and they're going to be, and those articles all talk about good fats and how important they are in our diet. I would have to agree. If you are picky about the kind of fat that you take in each day, you'll lose weight. You know, for me, if I eat the fat that is included in foods like, say, my meat, my grilled chicken, it's going to still have 8 grams of fat. You know what? You do 3 of those a day, and you'd be at your max. Of course, you're not going to do 3 things of chicken a day. But you have to be careful because the things that are in our foods are real, real, real dangerous. You know, we laugh at our house because actually most of my weight I've lost eating out. And I think my title of my book eventually will be Eat Out and Lose 100 Pounds, you know. But anyway, it's because I have really had a hard time learning to cook without all the fat in my cooking. I'm telling you, I can cook really good when I can load it up with butter and salt and different oils and stuff. Boy, I can cook good like that. But you know what? It's kind of interesting. Our diet in our culture, that is just exactly how it is. And we don't even realize how dangerous it is. Our food, it's everywhere. Even things that you would least expect to be fat-filled and dangerous, I mean, are really bad. I remember telling Harold when we were first beginning our diet at the beginning of the year, he found that Arby's, and I hate to even name names because they're not the only ones, but how Arby's has a wonderful chicken salad sandwich. It has grapes in it, and it's got the, you know, grilled chicken. It's just wow, yummy on a whole wheat bread. Well, looking at it, do you know that eating that one sandwich, if you ate that, you could also eat 2 Big Macs and have the same amount of fat. And it's not good fat, by the way. Ouch. You know, we need to get informed. We need to watch it. One of the things that helps me to watch what I'm eating is writing it down. I have a little journal I carry in my purse, and I write down everything I eat throughout the day, and I look up the fat grams. Pretty much right now I know them because I tend to eat some of the same things. But if I'm watching it, then I can determine whether I could do something extra, something frivolous. But you know what? I found when I look back on my diet at the very beginning, there was a reason that I had gained all that weight. First, I was sedentary, and I'll talk more about that in a minute, but I was very sedentary, and my choices, I thought they were healthy choices, but they weren't healthy choices. And all it took was writing it down and really looking at the numbers to realize that, hey, I was making some bad choices. So we have to watch our food. We have to pick the very, very best that we can eat. And you know what? I find that when I pick the very best, I am eating more now than I have ever ate in my entire life. But it's really good stuff. It's the stuff that I really need to feel healthy, to be able to have energy, to be able to knock that weight off, but to feel really, really, really good. And see, I've been feeling okay for years, but this is totally different. My energy level is totally different than it was at the beginning. My metabolism, I don't take medication for that. My metabolism has bounced back like a rubber band. Just by watching the food. But also, let me mention this. It's not just enough to watch the food. Many of us as Christians watch that food just beautifully. But we've also got to get up and get moving every day. You know, you can't stay fit and healthy any other way. You've got to get up and get moving. You know, and Harold and I talked about this just last night. He had not brought his workout clothes to town, and he was actually still, he's had an ear infection, and so he really didn't need to work out yesterday anyway. He needed another day of healing, but I went to do the to go do my cardio last night, and after the thing that we went to, and he was sitting there. He said, "You know, Cindy," he said, "at the gym," he said, "all you have to do is look around, and most of these people go around. They are aimless. They don't. It's like," he said, "I don't know if they just don't realize that they need to do something for more than 1 minute, or if they don't know how to work the machines, or if you know what it is." But he said, "It's like they're aimless when they come in. They don't know what to do." And can I just tell you, if you're one of those and you have no idea what to do, that one of the best things you can do for yourself each and every day, and at minimum, if you're just getting started, do at least 3 times a week. Just get out there and get moving. Get maybe a heart monitor. That was one of the best investments I've ever made. Get a heart monitor and get your heart rate up to 80, 85, 90% of its regular heart rate. And see if you don't start seeing the pounds drop off. See if you don't start seeing your body change. See if you don't start feeling better. Just the cardio helps me so much. But, you know, we really need to get our heart rate up and keep it up for about 30 to 40 minutes a day. That's where we need to be. How many of us are there? It's taken a big commitment for me. It's taken changing some of my lifestyle up. It's taken not doing some things at this season just to get there. And, boy, I'm seeing the benefits. But get up and get moving. You know what I've noticed is even now I am able to do a lot more, obviously, than I have ever been able to do. And this means that I'm able to now do things with my husband and my children that I've never been able to do before. That's priceless. We are priceless. We've got to take care of ourselves spiritually, mentally, and physically. Watch your food, get up and get moving each day. Rest. Rest. Oh, how many of us as Christian women struggle with rest? I have my hand raised. I've had to learn to slow down, go to bed earlier, let myself sleep in if I don't go to bed earlier, take a nap when I'm tired. I've had to learn to do that. And you know what? I am so much healthier now. Also, de-stress. You know, I think this is a biggie because a lot of the women who I think are just movers and shakers, many of them have been the ones who have this down. They have this down. And it's a big secret. But our culture, there's so much stress everywhere we turn. We need to have ways that we will invest in ourselves and de-stress. What is it? Well, it can be as simple as slowing down and enjoying an afternoon reading with your little ones. That does a lot, but it also de-stresses you. Or maybe getting out and doing that exercise. Or maybe cuddling up and taking a nap with the little ones. Whatever it is, find a way to de-stress every day. Find things that fill your cup. I love hobbies. To me, one of the best ways for me to de-stress, as a matter of fact, some of the times where I've been maybe maxed out and frustrated and really going through a tough time, many times I'll grab my camera and I will go to some of my favorite spots and take pictures during the different seasons, different seasons. Right now, we're about at an amazing time of the year. Our leaves are already changing. I'm sitting here looking at one of my trees right now that, like overnight, has gotten some leaves turning red. It is amazing. We're about to get into that season, and I love just going out, taking my camera and taking pictures, not missing the little treasures that are so easy to just walk past in our everyday life. But find what de-stresses you. And, of course, don't push your limits. You know, we're created in God's image, spirit, soul, and body. We must, not should or could, but we must take care of ourselves. We are too important to let this go. And then finally, I have one more thing for you to remember as you think about how priceless you are. You need to know that it's time today. Sweet friends, know what you are to do in every area of life. Look at Proverbs 31 again. You know, here we see that there is value, great value, in all the different areas of, of life that a godly woman could live in. All the different things that she can do. There is great value in those things. You see them? They're written right here in the pages of the Word. We need to know what we are called to do ourselves, what we can do, what you and only you, what I and only I can do in every area of life, in every relationship. We need to know it. I think you deep down do know it. I think we know that. We may procrastinate it. We may discredit it. We may not value it. We may think, well, we're not really the best person for that. But you see, you're just second-guessing God. You know what you're called to do. If not, take that time with God so he can show you who you are and what you're to be all about so you can live a life of purpose. But you've got to know who you are, and then don't put it off even one more day. You know, it's time today to get going. You know, without you getting going on what you are called to do, there's going to be a void. You know, what if there's that one person that needs for you to be all there and to be doing what God's called you to do? What are they having to go through because you won't step up to the call? Because you've got your excuse? Because you're putting it off? There's a void there. They're being put off and they're having to wait. They may not get their answer if you don't step up to that call. Without you, there's going to be a gap. You are so vital. You're so essential. You're so precious. You're so priceless. And it's time today. This is the year. And don't think this year is over because we're now in September. This is the year. This is the moment. This is the day. This is the day to step up to the call. Sweet friends, Proverbs 31 is not for others. It's not elusive or unattainable or some ideal that no one will ever reach. Proverbs 31 begins today. Do you want to become a Proverbs 31 woman? Well, be priceless. You know you already are. Grasp on to who you are. Step up to the call. Grasp on to all that God has called you to do and to be. Step up. You, beloved, are precious. You are so valuable. Without you, there will be a void. You are so worthy. You are very, very priceless. So step up to the call. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for today, and I thank you for this show, and I thank you for this teaching. And God, I just pray that today, that those who are listening in, that they will truly sit at your feet and learn from you today, Lord. That God, they will embrace who they really are, that they will really soak in that they are so valuable to you, that you've given up your very Son for them. For them. You want a personal, passionate, intimate relationship with them. And God, I pray today that they will come to you, and they will sit at your feet, and that they will just bask in who they are, who you've created them to be. God, they're so precious. They are so priceless. They are so valuable. Let them soak that in, Lord. This is not written about somebody else. This is about them. God, I pray that you will impress on our hearts what we're to do, what we're to be about. That, Lord, you'll help us to stick to the main thing. Lord, that we will stick to our priorities, that we will stick to our spot, that, Lord, we will stick to our purpose. God, I pray that we will really embrace the call to be all there so that, Lord, we will be a godly influence to those who are around us. That, Lord, we will take care of ourselves, spirit, soul, and body. And Lord, that we will be ready to step up to that call beginning today. That today we will move forward. We'll do that thing that you have put on our heart that we are to do today. And, Lord, we'll do it with total faithfulness as a virtuous woman, as a godly woman. And, God, I just pray that you'll be glorified and honored. Lord, that you'll be pleased. Oh, God, I thank you that you think so much of us. Lord, today we want to think like you think. Oh, God, I thank you. For in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, sweet friends, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Again, for those who have been looking for the chat room, my apologies. We are having really bad weather, and I still don't have the internet going here. And so I hope that I can do it, or I may have to chance getting out in the rain and go into high speed in a little bit to get my things done today. But here at that house, it's nice. It looks like a good day for a nap. Oh, was that one of those points, take a nap, rest? Well, I do have some work to do, and then I'll probably come back and get me an afternoon nap today. But you guys, I'm sorry about the chat room, but I want to just mention a couple of things before we wrap up. Next week is mailbag, and I've already received some letters and some notes with people asking different questions. You guys, the mailbag is only as varied as those who write in and who ask their question. Next week we're going to take a whole day away from our study here, and we're going to answer your questions. Whatever they're on, marriage, mothering, mentoring, ministry, military, is it on homemaking, homeschooling, home business, whatever it is, your question is our topic next week. So send me your question. You can send it to me at cindy@cindyrushton.com. You can go to any of my websites, scroll to the bottom of the site, and at the very bottom, there's a link that you can email me. Again, that's cindy@cindyrushton.com, and that way you can stay in touch with us. If you'd like to see my websites, let me mention, we've got a lot of goodies on our websites. We have anything from audios to articles to tips, blog entries. We've got a little bit of everything. I've even got my scrapbook of pictures of my family. I've got links into my Facebook and into Twitter. I'm on both. We've even got recipes, all kinds of goodies. If you want to see me online, the first place to check it out is, of course, our site for this show, which is momtomomradioshow.com. If you find that, then you can look on the sidebar and you can see all my other links. Another place you can look is Cindy Rushton, RUSHTON.com, and there, that takes you into all my different sites. You can also find me at talk-a-latte.com and cindysdesktop.com. And if you are a writer or you want to have a business of your own at home, you may want to check out writers-nook.com. And, in fact, the Writer's Nook even has a show called the Writer's Radio Show that airs right here on Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. If you are interested in being a writer or having your own business, don't miss that show either. It is filled to overflowing with lots of ideas. I teach just as hard and just as full of a message there at that show as I do here at this one. And so you may want to check it out. And by the way, the archives are right there at writersradioshow.com and at writers-nook.com. Also, let me just mention real quick, since I'm talking about Writer's Nook, right there at Writer's Nook, you have access to articles and tips and information on beginning and growing a business that's a success. So you may want to check it out if you're interested in that. Well, you guys, I love you, and I want to thank you for being a part of Mom to Mom Radio Show. It means the world to me. I love whenever you guys stay in touch with me. I love that we can dialogue. I am so thankful for those who are faithful to our show, and I pray that you're enjoying it. Hey, if there are things that you need to learn about, drop me a line, because I've right now got a lineup for the next few months, but I listen to you about what you want to learn here in our show, because this is not just Cindy. This is not the Cindy Rushton Show. This is Mom to Mom Radio Show. And so I want to be sure that we are stepping up and doing the things that help you in your calling. And you know what? I listen to what's being asked for, and those are the things that we put on the calendar. So send me a note. Let me know if we're helping you or how we can help you more and the things that you struggle with, the things that you want to know more about. Well, you guys, I pray you have a super, super week. If you want to get in touch with us, again, go to my website. Don't forget, we have our e-zines that go out, and tonight we've got another one going out for homeschooling families. And You can subscribe at cindyrushton.com/subscribe.html, and we would love to have you join us there. But that's not all. Next week, we'll be recording right back here at 10 a.m. Don't forget, it's our mailbag, and I want to see you here. Well, you guys have a great week, and I'll talk to you then. God bless you. Bye-bye.